Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, and I'm joined by Cole.
Hello.
And today, we're going to talk about, Final Fantasy VII. However, the guy who's played the most of Final Fantasy VII, aka Wilhelm, is not here because he's not well again. Cole.
Mark has also played a lot of Final Fantasy, but he is also not here.
Well, he's also banned from the podcast via the listeners of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, no more Mark, and I don't know what's going on with Will. So, we'll try to get Will on, but if not, we'll ask Bradley, I'm sure he's listening, to come onto the show next week and talk about Final Fantasy VII. But also, we're going to talk about the Xbox Series X is pushing hard for all-access subscription for the Xbox, or for the Series X. So, that's good. We'll talk about that. And PlayStation unveiled their DualSense controller. We'll also talk about that. That's all coming up right now.
Right now.
Right now. All right, guys, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about the gaming order of the week this week, which is brought to you by me. And it's exploit. You know, that is Cole.
Is that when you exploit a break in the game?
Like, yes.
Yeah. Nailed
yes, it.
It
is.
It's I've been watching video game creators react to speedruns. It's been a really interesting series on IGN. It's like they literally get the lead designers and the character designers to sit down and watch some of the world's best speedrunners.
Yep.
And just get to hear the creators they talk about how they made the game and how if they like what the speedrunner is doing, if it's legit or if they're exploiting parts of the game. So I lucked out with watching something that's using exploit lately.
Nice. I watched the world record speedrun for Breath of the Wild. It's fucking gross.
How long is it?
27 minutes.
Holy crap.
He literally made... Okay, so he had to get the bombs. Like, he had to get all four orbs so he can get the paraglider.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He did a big time bounce to, which is when you jump off a ledge of some sort and onto your shield, and you're about to land on an enemy, and then you'll go into bullet time, so you'll hold down the
The yellow one, yeah.
Yeah, the right trigger. No, not this, you don't use stasis. You hold down the right trigger so you can use your bow, and then it slows time down.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And when you do that, it changes the physics in the game. So you'll land on the Bokoblin or whatever you're landing on, and it'll fucking launch you, like, super fucking quick. And he uses that to get all the way to Hyrule Castle in, like, 30 seconds. So, yeah, he does that. And then if you haven't defeated any of the Divine Beasts, you have to fight those bosses in Hyrule Castle before you can even fight Ganon. But he made all four of those bosses look like they weren't even a fucking challenge. Like,
looked like chumps?
Like they talk about how Link's the legendary hero, but, like, this Link was fucking unreal.
like, he is the legendary hero.
Like, he's, oh my god, he had three hearts, and he took out all four bosses in less than a minute. I'm like, holy fucking shit. The first boss, he shot an arrow at a specific spot, and then the cutscene started, and as the cutscene was playing, the arrow was directly in the eye of the fucking boss, so he was taking double damage consistently until the cutscene ended, and he just fucking dropped dead and died.
I'm like, there's some people who are like just so good, but it takes practice, you know. It's not like,
I was gonna say, clearly this guy's played nothing but Breath of the Wild since it was released,
or he's just an au naturel,
possibly. Anyways, yeah, exploit is when you find a glitch in the game in a game engine and then abuse that glitch in order to further your own ends. An example would be you found a bug that made you able to fall underground in an FPS, and instead of reporting it, you purposely exploit the underground bug to get free kills and wins.
I might have done that once on Call of Duty in Season 1 on I can't remember what the map is called, because I'm terrible with names. It's the one where it's like the city, the desert city.
I can't remember what it's called either, but yeah, I hate that level.
I was climbing down the ladder. There's like a little ladder to get to the roof, and I crawled down the ladder, and I just went right underground as I was crawling, and I couldn't get back up. And I was like, oh, so my head must be sticking up or something. I'm going to die. And then it wasn't at all. So the whole game, I just sat underground at the bottom of the ladder.
Nice. And then people watch the kill. Oh, you're playing on hardcore, so there's no kill cam.
Yeah, no kill cam.
Nice.
I was just sitting at the bottom of the ladder, like underground. I mean, I couldn't really see anybody too well, but if somebody came to that ladder, I could shoot them. So I got like four kills or something, and that's it. But I just couldn't get out. Like, I was completely stuck. So I was like, I'll just shoot people going on this ladder, which is not a heavy use, and then I felt justified.
I can hear and all the 12-year-old kids now.
Fucking hacker! Come on! It only happened once. It's never happened again, and that happened like when the game first came out in like the first 2 weeks.
Anyways, so I've actually been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild. I've been playing the whole game. And
is it your second playthrough or third playthrough?
This is my second playthrough. What I've forgotten is where all the shrines are. And how to complete all the shrines, so it's like pretty much fresh every time I play the shrine. Or I'll remember it. Like, there was one shrine I was stuck on forever, and it was like the dumbest thing. You had to use your paraglider to like glide up gales of wind, and then and then you get to a point where it's just like this tower, and it just isn't obvious or instinctual for you to fly around to the backside of this tower and find a fucking hole there.
So the idea would keep you on your toes.
Yeah, so when I first played that dungeon on my first playthrough, I'm like, this, I don't know what to fucking do. So I just left and came back later and tried to figure it out. And then I got Will to look it up for me when we were standing in line for PAX. He's like, you need to fly around to the backside. I'm like, fuck's sakes. I just felt so dumb. And I'm like, yeah. But
that's all I had to do. It's good. They keep you on your toes, you know, the shrines, they're fun.
Yeah.
Mini games? No, not mini games. Challenges?
Mini challenges?
Mini challenges.
Some of them are just downright annoying, though. Like,
the ones where you have to use your gamepad is like,
fuck those.
Where you have to turn the map in order to roll the balls to places?
Yeah.
Those frustrated me.
Yeah, those are annoying. I glitched the game twice in my playthrough. Once to, you know the blue fire puzzles or lantern things that you gotta light all the lanterns? Those are fucking dumb and I hate it. So I did a, item storage glitch. So you'll set down a square bomb on the ground and then you'll take out a torch and you'll have a shield equipped and then you'll put the torch away. But while Link's doing the animation for putting the torch away, you'll unequip your shield and then push A to pick up the bomb. And then he's holding the bomb, but underneath the bomb is the torch sticking out. So you just have to like very neatly light the torch. And then throw the bomb away, and then, you got a lit torch that you don't have to manage anymore. Because it's not technically not equipped, but it's equipped. So you can, like, climb and do all this shit with the torch, and it'll never go out. So you just run up to the thing and light the fucking kettle thing.
Did you do that recently, or did you do it a while ago?
No, I did it recently.
Okay, I was going to say, do they fix that? Like, are you still able to do that?
Yeah, I just did it yesterday, actually.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. Still,
And the other glitch I did in the game was I got the Master Sword early. So.
That's a big glitch.
That's a pretty big glitch.
That's like half the game is just trying to get the hearts to get the Master Sword.
Well, I wanted to max out my stamina meter before I went for hearts, so I literally just did that yesterday. I have 3 full stamina wheels now. And so I have 5 hearts and full stamina. But yeah, the Master Sword glitch is not that hard, actually. You need to... So, the Hinito Village, where your house is and where this... where you can dye your clothes and shit like that,
yeah.
That town.
Yeah.
So that shrine that's in that town, that plays a key role in this. You have to save near the Master Sword on top of a horse, like a hard save. And then you have to go to that shrine. How do I explain this glitch? There's a camera glitch where you can open your camera and crouch at the same time, and then you can move while you're crouched, while you're in the camera, and then you walk up to it's one of those puzzles that you were just talking about, the ones you hate.
Oh, yeah.
So you go up to the apparatus or whatever, while you're in this crouched camera state, and then take a picture of the apparatus console, and then it'll show you your picture, and you have to delete the picture, and then the game will also have activated the apparatus at the same time. So you're basically just, like, trying to store that apparatus in the game's memory. And then you have to load your save file. Okay,
yeah.
You with me? Yeah, you load your save file with Link on top of the horse. It'll load that, and as soon as that game loads, like as soon as you're able, you have to open the map and then load the Great Plateau. So you warp to the Great Plateau, or so the game thinks you are. The game will load the Great Plateau. But it'll also load the coordinates of the horse, and that's where you will start. So you're in the the Lost Woods.
Yeah.
And but the game's loaded the Great Plateau, so you literally just run up and grab the Master Sword before all the triggers load in.
That sounds extremely complicated.
Yeah, it is. But it's rewarding because now I have the Master Sword, and I didn't need to get 13 hearts for it.
Every time, like, I try to do... I mean, I don't really try to do too much, like, but every time I've tried to do glitches, I always mess it up. I'm never able to pull it off, so...
Yeah, well, this one was pretty easy, actually, so...
It sounds like it.
But the downside to this is... So there's the DLC in the game where you can do the trials.
Yeah.
With the Master Sword. So the game, once the area loaded, the game still thinks... The Master Sword is in the pedestal, so I'll walk up to it. It's not there, but it'll say pull out or pull up when I get there. But it's in my inventory. So I have to still get 13 hearts before I can do the trials.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so. Alright, let's move on to actual things now. So let's talk about the Xbox Series X. All access subscription. So Xbox, Phil Spencer, is... talking about how they're going to manage the price of the Series X, which is a concern for a lot of people. He mentions in this article that what hurt the Xbox One X, the Xbox One, was that it was $100 more than the PS4. So, Microsoft's going to push its smartphone-style all-access subscription program for the Xbox Series X launch later this year. Speaking to IGN, Spencer said Microsoft is going to go big with the Xbox all-access for the launch of the Xbox Series X later this year. In fact, Spencer used the plural, saying Microsoft will go big with Xbox All Access at the launch of the consoles. He might have just simply misspoken, or might have been referring to Microsoft's previously discussed plans to launch more than one generation console this year. In addition to the Xbox Series X, Microsoft reportedly working to on lowering the cost of the next-gen Xbox consoles under the codename Lockhart. The Series X name designates the model name of the next-gen Xbox, which leaves room for Microsoft to release more generation consoles beyond the one we know about. Well, they had Scarlet, and then they had Anaconda as the code names, so they could be releasing those simultaneously.
Interesting. That means, like, they could be releasing different versions of it or different consoles entirely?
No, it'll be, like, the Xbox One and the Xbox One S or, you know, variations like that.
and they would still have the power to run new gen games.
Oh yeah. Hmm. Oh yeah. In the US, the Xbox All Access program charges you $24 a month for an Xbox Series X, or $23 a month for the Xbox One S, or $20 a month for the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. You may get off the you may pay off the console over a period of 24 months. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like buying a car.
Yeah. Well, you got to teach these kids some financial
planning. I know, planning. Right? They don't teach you how to do financial planning in school, but they'll teach you how to do it. Or Xbox will teach you how to do it.
Yeah. So. A $1 trillion company is teaching you how to be better financially. Jesus.
Well, that's funny because it's like, that's the thing they don't teach you in school. They don't teach you how to, like, you know, live an adult life, like how to do banking or how to buy a house and stuff, which they should do.
Yeah.
We'll just have to learn how to do it from Xbox Series X. Thanks, Microsoft. Thanks, Bill Gates.
All right. In the IGN interview, Spencer said that price is critical factor in the Xbox Series X. He said the original Xbox One struggled at launch because it was $100 more than more expensive than the PS4. An Xbox All Access subscription program will help lessen the single impact of a purchase. And also in the interview, Spencer briefly discussed the impact of COVID-19 on the gaming industry. He said gaming, unlike any other industry, is able to survive the global marketing validity. Yeah, I think that's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer pointed out that the gaming staying afloat in 2008 during the financial crisis as well. And it would be remiss if you did not talk about the economic realities that could be here in the fall. So it's not all doom and gloom. He does say that we are possibly... It should be on track to be released near the end of the year in terms of the consoles and Halo Infinite.
Mm.
So, that's good.
I think the thing that would affect it is the parts, right? Because there's so many... Like, the Switch is being affected because they can't make the parts fast enough mm-hmm. in China. I don't know about the PS5, but... I wonder how is Xbox all made in the States? It can't be.
No, it's in China as well, but he says in this article that since China's kind of getting up and running again, they feel that they're on track to release everything on time.
Let's just hope that China's up and running properly, you know? I'm afraid that they're just trying to cover it up again.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
But, well, hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. Not that I care about any of this Xbox stuff, because I'm not buying an Xbox this time.
Sorry, Microsoft. Thanks for saving us and teaching us how to do finance, but...
Yeah. We haven't done any quick maths in a while on this podcast.
Oh, quick maths. Big Papa Pump maths.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's that little story here. Let's talk about the PS5 controller.
Yeah, look at this thing. It looks like a spaceship.
Lots of people have actually made concept art for what the PS5 could look like with this design.
Mm.
But one person made it look similar to the Xbox Series X, and that person needs to be punched.
Just a big tower. I really like the... I don't know how much PlayStation did it, but the Xbox... how much you could customize your controller. I've seen some pictures of, like, people customizing the PS5 controller. It'd be cool if you could do the same thing. Because on the Xbox website, you can go on there and you can design your own controller and then have them send it to you. Did you see that?
Nope.
Xbox controller.
Oh, actually, no. I do know what you're talking about.
You can go on there and you can, like, literally piece together a controller way you want it. Like, you can pick your own colors and your own however you want it. Design it, and then they'll
I did that with my controller, the Evil controller.
Basically, oh yeah, did you?
Yeah, so you just you choose the plate you want on it, and how you want, if you want hairpin triggers, if you want your right thumbstick raised, your left thumbstick raised, etc., etc. So I did all that.
My Xbox controller broke. My right trigger doesn't click anymore. It's stuck. So yeah. Sometimes I'll be playing COD, and like my trigger will just stop working. It's always fun.
That's annoying.
But, I'm trying to look it up here. Hairpin triggers, controllers, and remotes. It might be time for a new controller. But yeah, I like the design, but I wonder, like, it doesn't look comfortable, you know? Like, it looks very boxy.
Right.
The Xbox controllers are boxy, but this looks like, for the PS controllers, they were like a little bit smaller. They were easy to handle, but this seems like the handles are very wide, and the D-pad looks like it's almost, it doesn't look like it's sticking out. Like, if you look at the D-pad, it looks like it's, so does all the buttons. They look like they're like almost flat on it. Or is it just got a, oh, it's got a plastic covering. That's why it's seeing up from a low angle. Straight on, it looks like none of the buttons are sticking out. It looks like it's like right into the controller.
Interesting. All right.
We'll see. Because, I mean, that's like the big, that's one of the big battles between Xbox players and PlayStation players is the controller.
Okay. So, M Bridges is in the live podcast. Hello, M Bridges.
Good evening.
Good evening. So, okay. We're still talking about the PlayStation 5. So, in a blog post that came seemingly out of nowhere, Sony finally revealed the new DualSense PS5 controller. It marked the radical departure from the DualShock 4, but the redesigned pad will share one thing in common with its predecessor. It will continue to ignore almost all its unique features.
Yeah.
This is from TechRadar. So, it's a shame that the DualSense is stuffed full of exciting and potential game-changing technology. Sony wants to tingle your fingertips and massage your palms in a variety of interesting ways using haptic feedback and adaptive triggers, and I'm all for it. We've seen the tech used effectively in VR controllers, but if you're new to haptic feedback, it basically means you'll feel more of what you're seeing on screen. The sludginess as you drive a car through the mud and the tension of pulling back a bowstring as you shoot an arrow, for example. Cool. So that's like the HD rumble from Nintendo.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome. Sorry, I've just got so many tabs open trying to get back to the PlayStation tab. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like how they can make a controller like, what's the word, 4D?
Yep.
You know, like you can just like, you can have every sense being affected by it. Because I think that's huge, you know, like when you're playing a game and you want to feel immersed, I think your controller is a big part of that.
Yeah, totally.
One thing that drove me crazy is when I used to play Sea of Thieves like late at night on my Xbox, the menu button on the Xbox controller was so bright. Just they've got the white button right in the middle of the controller, and there's no way to turn down the volume or turn down the brightness.
Yep.
And all the lights would be off, and it would just be, I had to literally put a piece of tape over the middle of the controller because it was just so bright. Like, I hope they have a, you wouldn't think about that, but I hope they have a function to turn down the brightness on your controller.
Yeah.
Like little things like that that kind of take you out of the experience.
There's one shade of blue light that like I can't look at and focus on. Like, it's just out of focus for all eternity.
Really?
Oh yeah. Sometimes at concerts when they have that same blue light, I'm just like, fuck, I can't even see the concert now.
You get put in that one spot at the concert where the light just passes in front of you and just blinds you for a few seconds every...
Yeah, Will and I went to Billy Talent a couple years ago, and nice. Whoever the light technician was for that show should be fucking fired. They put fucking 8K floodlights directly behind the band, and they just were blasting those the whole show, so you couldn't see the band at all.
You probably know them, because it's all the film guys who go do the concerts when they come here.
Oh, yeah?
You know, definitely. Like, I'll always be talking to guys who work in the electrics department who were like, oh, yeah, I did the lighting for this concert, and I was working on whatever for this concert, so you probably knew whoever it was.
Well, good. We can punch them.
Find them and knock them out.
Yeah, putting floodlights behind, like, panel floodlights. Like, they were fucking super powerful on their own, and they had 8 of them behind the band that were just going off like crazy, so you couldn't see the band at all. It was super annoying. Like, you go to concerts to watch the band play the songs you like, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can get in my car at any time and listen to the band.
But right? You want to hear them live.
I want to hear them live, and I want to see them play the songs.
Is Billy Talent good live?
Oh, yeah, they're amazing live.
Who was it? I thought it was Billy Talent, or who wasn't very good live. I could be wrong.
Like, any new pop artist is probably not good live.
Mm.
Because they have a lot of digital effects in their songs.
Yeah, I mean, that's technology that's come a long way. The microphone technology, like, you can just have auto-tune right into your microphone.
Yep. Fucking T-Pain and all them fuckers.
T-Pain's old, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know what you
mean. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so we're still on the DualShock controller. Let's take a look at the DualShock 4 as our primary suspect. It's got a lovely light bar which can change color to reflect what's happening in the game, such as flashing white if you're using a torch or turning red if your health is low. How many games use it this way, though? Barely any. Yep. I don't know. I don't have a PlayStation, so.
They did that in the... You're talking about the PS4 controller right now?
Yes.
Yeah, that... It's very interactive. Like, everything that's going on, it always changes colors. Like, in God of War, it did that every time something was going on, the PS5 controller or the PS4 controller would just be like a bright show.
I feel like those would be more used with the exclusive games for PS.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I feel like game designers, they like to get immersed in what they're doing, so I'm sure that they would also do it for games that aren't exclusively for PS, just for fun.
Yeah. Okay. We saw Killzone Shadowfall, a PS4 launch title, use the touch bar in some interesting ways. Did Infamous Second Son. But how many other games can you name that transform the experience in meaningful ways using this feature? Probably no one. Well, it's not really a meaningful feature. Tech radar.
PS4 controller colors? No, that would just be the colors.
Yeah. What about the PS4 accelerometer? A feature that's been around since the 6-axis controller, which launched with the PS3. When did you last play a video game that uses the accelerometer for something other than silly gimmick?
I think never.
Yeah, never. But hold on, because of these features were rather super fluctuous. I mean, come on, the flashy light, you can't even see most of the time, so who cares? Members of the court, may I present you with Exhibit B, HD Rumble on Nintendo Switch. Yes. I was just talking about that. Yeah. Masters of cramming quirky technology down gamers' throats, Nintendo's always tried to introduce some bizarre new input system into their console. With the Nintendo Switch, is no different. We were promised a sensation of feeling ice cubes in a controller, because of course we were. Despite the technology genuinely woeing in games like 1-2 Switch, it's basically been ignored by even Nintendo themselves. It hasn't come close to reaching the potential we were promised. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But maybe it's so real that we don't notice it.
Yeah, it just feels like you're living your life.
Yeah.
How do you make your controller make it feel like you're sitting on the couch at home playing Mario?
Totally. Okay, so one feature fits all. Why does this worrying trend consistently happen? Truth be told, it all comes down to time and money. Video games are extremely expensive to make and require a lot of resources to do so. There's no monetary benefit to developers spending extra time to code in for features that are specific for one console. Occasionally it can happen, but it's an anomaly. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're trying to rush your game out, I doubt you'd be like, alright, put the ice cube feature in the controller before we go.
Yeah. All right, well, so that's the news so far. Let's move on to the poll of the week. So last week's poll was, which Mario game are you most excited for? And because we talked about that in the last podcast, didn't we, Cole?
We did.
And so one person said New Paper Mario Switch, that they're super excited for. One other person is most excited for the remake of Super Mario 64. And two other people said Super Mario Sunshine. And I'm kind of on that boat, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Sunshine is like... I don't know what it is about... I mean, I know what it is about Sunshine, but something about Sunshine that just sticks out, that's just so amazing.
Well, I mean, how many games are out there that need to get remade that haven't been remade yet? Like, we have fucking 12 fucking Resident Evils.
Right, and all the Final Fantasies, and just remake a Super Mario.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in university, I had my alarm for waking up in the morning as Delfino Plaza, the song Delfino Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm when I had it as my alarm, like, you know, when you have a song as your alarm, you get so sick of it. Like, yeah. It just, like, you just hate it.
Yeah.
I still don't hate Delfino Plaza. I think it's an amazing song. After having it as an alarm, I still love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did I have for my alarm? No, I can't. I don't think I've ever had any song as my alarm.
No.
No.
Just.
Well, I didn't have the fucking Mayday alarm clock sound. It was always something nice, so I woke up to something nice.
Like birds chirping and flowers blooming?
Yeah. Okay, so let's... excuse me. So let's move on to the new poll of this week, which is... I had it here, one sec. There it is. So what is your favorite console and why? That was the question we asked all the people on our Facebook page and Discord. So we'll just put it up, what is your favorite console, on our website. So go to our website, videogamesnow.ca, to vote. It's on the podcast page. And yeah, you can, while you're there, you can check out all our YouTube videos and grab a link to our social media pages.
That's a good question. What's your favorite console and why?
That's a hard one, man.
That is a hard one. I there's so many reasons why it could be different things, because I was like, there's the N64, which is what I started with, so that holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
And then there's the Xbox 360, which is what I got when, like, I was, like, really into, like, I don't even know. When I got my first job working, like, consistently, the first thing I did with my first paycheck was go out and buy an Xbox 360. Like, I literally, like, received my first paycheck, and with that paycheck went straight to the good old electronics store and was like, give me them, that Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got Resident Evil 5, and I was ripping up on Resident Evil 5 and Gears of War 2. So that also holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, I always wanted an Xbox, and I never got one, but I bought an Xbox 360.
Yeah, I was... The Xbox 360 was already out for a little bit when I was able to get one for myself, because my parents would buy one. Because my parents got me a N64 and a GameCube, and then a Wii, and I was like, I'm getting the Xbox.
Yeah, I bought mine from a friend. His red ring of death. Duh.
Yeah,
and he sent it back to get it fixed, but he didn't want to wait anymore, so he just went out and bought a new Xbox, and then he got his refurbished Xbox back, and then he sold it to me for $180. And ironically, I never ever had a problem with it.
Nice.
So
my Resident Evil 5 Xbox Red Ringed of Death, and I tried to get it fixed, and they couldn't fix it. So I got the Slim, or the, what was the?
I think the Slim. Yeah.
I think it was the Slim. The whichever one, they were like, oh, this will never red ring. This, they're like, this Xbox won't red ring, and I'm like, I'd rather get a non fancy Xbox that doesn't red ring than get an exclusive that is just gonna crap out on me.
Yeah. Totally. Lost your faith in the brand.
Did. But I have my Xbox One is the Gears of War 4 Xbox One, so every time I turn it on, it's a locust screaming, so I don't have the regular, like, Xbox sound, but it's just like, dun 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 dun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that's such a hard question. The 64 is definitely up there. The 64 is what I've logged the most time on, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got that thing in 98. And I didn't get a cube, so I played 64 all the way until the Wii came out, so it's like, what, 7 years?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you were playing some darn good games. Do you still have your N64?
I do. I just put it in the garage yesterday.
What? When I was helping you move, I should have taken a look at your N64 collection. I want to see what games you have. You must have them all.
No, I don't have them all.
No. What was your most played N64
probably
game?
Pokemon Puzzle League.
Really? Pokemon Puzzle League?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then we've told this story on the podcast before, and then we went to PAX 1 year, and they had a Pokemon Puzzle League tournament. I'm like, buddy, I've been training for this my whole life, and I got fucking destroyed.
That's what it is, man. No matter how good you are, there's somebody out there who's just, like, an absolute monster.
Yeah. Like, I play super hard for fun. That's how good I was.
Mm.
So there's easy, normal, hard, very hard, super hard. And super hard, like the computers, you couldn't even see the cursor. They were moving so fast. And I play that for fun.
Is it for Puzzle League? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I had to look up Puzzle League. I used to rent this. One thing that kids won't know these days is we used to go to Video Station and rent N64 games. Like, that was like a big part of my week or my weekend, was going to the Video Station and renting a game. And I used to rent this game all the time.
Yeah, it was good shit.
But I sucked at it because I was a kid, and puzzles and kids kind of don't go together, at least me. Dumb kids and puzzles don't go together.
There was a mode on that in that game where you had to complete a puzzle in a certain set amount of moves.
Mm.
And that was the only game my mom ever played, was that mode. So, but yeah, I basically 100% completed the game. That was quite a long game, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. So many different modes you had to beat, and then you had to unlock all the special characters, and yeah.
Leave it to Pokemon to customize the hell out of things, you know?
Yeah. But best, yeah, I might have to just go with 64. Like, the Switch is really, really good, but I have not nearly logged as much hours on the Switch as I have on 64.
The one thing that would make the Switch the best controllers, if they, or the best consoles, if they released Pokemon Snap for the Switch, that would be.
Yeah.
That would be it. Game-breaking.
Hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the 64. Just for the sheer innovative... Well, the controller wasn't really innovative. It was kind of cancerous. Have you held a 64 controller in the last, last little bit?
Only controller to really make... Besides the GameCube controller, make my fingers bleed.
Like, no one ever actually used the D-pad. Like, nobody.
No. There's no... You can't do it all at once.
But actually, thinking about it back then, like, as soon as a gaming company makes a big change, everyone's like, whoa. So I imagine, like, controllers have had the D-pad for, like since the inception of fucking Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so if they took the D-pad off and just had, like, a fucking stick, people would have been like, whoa. But they would have got used to it right away. So I think the D-pad was completely useless.
Yeah, I mean, now it's good. Like, it's an inventory option. That's basically what it's used for.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the 64.
64, baby.
Yep. All right, so we'll throw that on our podcast page on our website for the poll. What is your favorite console? We asked that question on our Discord, and we have a couple of friends here that have something to say about it. So, we have Ignore on our Discord. Says he's got to go with the PS2, most sold console ever, and for a reason. Beautiful game lineup, and to top all that, in 2000, it was a cheap early DVD player for $300 US at launch.
That's right, yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I got my PS4, was because Blu-ray player is a good pull, so.
My friends who live on the island, they have a Wii U. They bought a Wii U to play one game, I can't remember what it was, and then it became a Netflix machine.
Yeah. That's what my PS4 was after I kind of, like, stopped playing PS4 games. It just became my Netflix machine, and now I got Netflix on my Xbox, so
okay.
That's my new Xbox, or my Netflix machine now.
Sounds good. Okay, so Bradley chimed in. He says it's going to be a fight between PS2 and N64. He said, it's the most sold and among lineup of games. Ignor said, it's the most sold and among the lineup of games. N64 system that mastered LAN parties, and is a system that changed multiplayer in my mind. Just to think of iconic games like GoldenEye, Mario Kart, Perfect Dark, Smash Bros, DK64, Mario 64, and both Zeldas. Yeah. There were so many good games on the 64.
So many good games on the 64.
That still hold up today.
Baby. Oh, yeah. GoldenEye definitely holds up, but damn, that was the controllers were rough on that. And then see another one, Star Wars Podracer, man. Star Wars Podracer Episode 1.
Yeah,
incredible. That needs a remake. That needs a hard remake right
they
there.
They just need a N64 remix game to come out for the Switch.
Oh yeah, like Pokemon Stadium. Oh, the Spider-Man game. Do you remember the N64 Spider-Man game?
I didn't play that one.
Holy crap, that was an incredible game. Oh, Gauntlet Legends 2? Not Gauntlet Legends 2, but Gauntlet Legends as well. So good. There's so many games that need to come out that were on the N64.
They're so good. So good.
I'm just looking at N64 games right now. Makes me want to play. Hey You, Pikachu?
Fuck that game. So fucking hard. It's so hard. And the reason it's hard is because... the voice recognition back then was garbage, awful. And your Pikachu can't fucking understand what you're saying. You're like, hey, do this. And it's like, try to be supportive. You're like, hey, Pikachu, can you go pick up the fucking fishing rod for the 15th fucking time? Fuck.
I remember playing that, and there was a Charmander. Like, we were in, like, the valley area, and there was a Charmander. I was like, Pikachu, there's a Charmander behind you. And it was like, Pikachu doesn't understand what you're saying. And I was like, then what am I supposed to say to this thing?
Yeah. That's a fucking game to stream. How fast can you beat Hey You Pikachu with this fucking asinine voice controls?
Let's do it.
I'm shocked we haven't gotten a sequel for that, because they seem to remake games no one wants.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or games that are, like, just, yeah.
Actually, if they remade that now, it might be okay.
Yeah, now the voice recognition is, like, spot on.
Yeah, like Google's got you covered.
Google remakes Hey You Pikachu.
Hey You Pikachu powered by Google, yeah.
Do you ever play the Tarzan N64 game?
No, I don't remember that one.
That game was dope. That was a good game. Oh, yeah. It was like a side-scroller, but, man, it was so well. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought it was so well done. I had to play it again, but just, I thought it was great.
I actually remember the order of the games I bought.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I got the 64 for Christmas with Mario 64. And played the shit out of that. Beat that. Felt like God, even though it wasn't that hard back in the day. Well, it was hard for me, I guess, because I was like 8.
It was hard for me, too. I sucked at that, but man, I love playing it.
Then Puzzle League was second. And then Indy 2000, which was a racing game, was the third one. And it has since gone missing. I don't know where that game is.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I basically pressured my mom into buying Mario Kart at a used game store for $30. She was like, I don't know. I'm like, buy it. It's Mario Kart, for fuck's sakes. So, yeah.
I made the mistake. My cousin and I, we both had an N64, and we both had all the same games. So we had all the same games, and I was like, we should sell, like, we each have all these doubles, so we should sell one so that we only have one copy of each, and then go out and buy all the games that we don't have.
Yeah.
So my cousin and I took all of our games and sold them so that we only had one, and then bought more games, and we got totally ripped off at the pawn shop.
Oh.
And then we always had to share games. And then when we were older, we were like, that was the stupidest thing that we've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we were kids. We had no idea.
Well, every time I go to like a expo or like a fan expo or something like that, I always check out the classic game store to see what else is there.
There's some good spots in Vancouver. Like, there's a shop right next to my house that has a ton of N64 games, and they have like 5 N64s. They got like DK64 and GoldenEye, and
yeah.
So that's a good place to check out.
I played this game a lot, which was World's Not Enough, 007.
Yeah, I played that a little bit, but not as much as GoldenEye.
I played it a lot. I want to play it now that I'm older, but fuck, you know what kills me is the fucking auto-aim is so bad. Like, after playing FPS, like modern FPS games where, you know, you need to be reactive and make sure you're fucking aiming in the right place and all that, to going to that where, like, you just have to be looking in the fucking general direction of the enemy, and then you'll auto-aim, like, on the whole screen over to the fucking dude. It's like, oh my god. Oh my god.
They still find a way to make it difficult, though.
Well, yeah, you can't run a gun on the higher difficulties.
No, you gotta take your time.
Yeah. So, that one was fun. My favorite was, there was one, what do you call it? There's one map, Istanbul, on multiplayer, so you can set how many bot AIs there were and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would literally spawn, or camp the missile launcher spawn, and I knew by looking at my radar where people spawned in. So I'd just, like, shoot a fucking guided missile down, like, the alley and shit like that, and get fucking kills all day long and not die once, and then missile launcher ammo would just continuously spawn on me. Like, fuck, I'm so cheap. Like, if this was online, I would hate everything about me.
But you were winning.
I was winning.
That's all that matters.
Against computers.
Another good game, Kirby Crystal Shards.
You know what? I have not played that game, and it's on my list.
Dude. The Crystal Shards is incredible.
Nice.
Gotta play it.
You know what shitty game I played was called Glover?
Glover. Oh, yeah, I remember Glover.
Yeah, that was the fifth game I got. It was okay. It entertained my 10-year-old mind.
Easily entertained.
Yeah.
I was saying that to a friend of mine, how I remember when I was a kid and I used to play a game on hard, like I'd play like the old Call of Duties on veteran, and if I, no matter how many times I died, I could just do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
You know, like I could just like just keep pushing until I beat the level on veteran.
Yeah.
And I tried doing that now, and I can't do it anymore. I just don't have the patience for it like I used to. I tried playing Modern Warfare campaign on veteran, and I quit like the first level. I was like, all right, I'm bored of this.
Yeah, you're saying that on a previous podcast.
Was I? Yeah. I was just thinking about that again, because N64 games, if there was something too difficult on N64, I could just like...
Can you play co-op campaign?
No,
I don't think you can.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, no, I think this campaign has been the best one in a while.
That's what everybody says, and I gotta play it then. I have to. I'm just like... It's because going from playing online to playing the campaign, like when you're playing against a living, breathing, thinking human being to playing against an AI, I don't know.
The AI is a bit smarter in this campaign. Like, lots of grenades are thrown, but if you're in an open area, like they will flank you. Like they'll come up behind you and take you out.
To dinner?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, see, I mean,
they do it right before they royally fuck you.
That's what they gotta do, right? Wine and dine. But I've been playing Gears of War. We were talking about this. I was playing Gears of War 5. And the AI in Gears of War is different because it's not like... The thing about Call of Duty is you look at a guy and you shoot him and he's basically dead, or you just shoot him a few times. But in Gears of War, every enemy, like, I don't know, I feel like they're there, they're present, like you have to focus on every single enemy. On Call of Duty, you just like go from one guy to one guy to one guy, but in Gears of War it's like every character, like they die differently, and they're the way that their body explodes or the way they get shot, like I don't know, I feel more invested in the campaign in Gears of War than I do in Call of Duty.
Yeah, there's only one complaint I have about the campaign in the new Call of Duty, and that's especially on veteran, is you have to die 5 or 6 times to know exactly where a guy is.
Yeah, just one guy.
Just one fucking guy. And then you have to, like, slide in and start shooting before he even fucking pops his head out to even kill him. It's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, that's annoying. Anyways.
It takes a lot of time, and I just don't have the patience for it anymore. Can't do it.
Well, I'd be veteran in, like, a day.
Oh, well, maybe I just suck at it.
Yeah, possibly.
Which is fine. I don't want to be good at Call of Duty campaign. No desire.
All right, so last thing on the podcast docket today is top 10 games. That top 10 video game launch titles is what I meant to say.
Top 10 games.
Top 10 games.
Top 10 launch titles. So games that came out at launch of a new console? New console specifically?
No. Top 10 games of all time that were launch titles that did really, really well. Number 10, F-Zero for the SNES. Did you play that?
Yeah, F-Zero was like one of the hardest, maybe the hardest racing game I've ever played. My friend had it, so I'd play it when I'd go over to his house, and we just sucked hard at it all the time. But we still played it. I mean, it was super fun. Like, I loved all the characters and all the ships, but man, that game's an ass kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 9 is SXX for the PS2. I don't know what that is.
SX? Isn't that snowboarding game?
Oh, it's a... Yeah, look, extreme sports. Yeah.
Do you know what? I think a different friend of mine had this game and we used to play it all the time. This was what, like... Because we used to play the Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah.
And this was like the racing snowboard version. Yeah, you could do tricks and grind and... Yeah, I remember playing this.
I remember... Maybe... I played a snowboarding game for the 64 called 1080.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's amazing how they make it, how fun they make these games.
Well, now that there's so much shit to do, like, and so many, like, movies to watch and animes to watch and different types of games to play, like, back in the day, games were not as accessible, so you had to, like, you had to fucking invest time in shit you've actually bought to make it worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I would probably play 1080 now for, like, 10 minutes and be like, okay, I'm done.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Steep came out? That open-world snowboarding game where they drop you on the top of a mountain?
No.
No? I remember when that came out, I was like, I was so interested in that game and the way that they pushed it, and I didn't end up getting it, and I'm not sad now, but it was like an open world snowboarding game where there's a mountain, they drop you on the top of the mountain, and you just do runs. So the whole game was just this couple big mountains, and you could go and ski and snowboard down.
Interesting.
So I don't think it did very well, and I haven't seen a game like it since. But yeah, snowboarding and skiing games.
Now you just play Breath of the Wild and shield surf down everywhere.
Easy.
Yeah.
Too easy.
Number 8 is Call of Duty 2 for the 360.
Nice. That's a fun one.
Call of Duty 2, like the second one ever made.
Is that the... Because there was multiple Call... Oh, okay, I did not play Call of Duty 2, but I played Call of Duty Big Red 1. That was the Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1, which was amazing. Just such an incredible game. I played the hell out of that, but I never played like Call of Duty 2. I just played Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1.
I remember playing Call of Duty the original. That was
Finest
fun.
Hour. Finest, yeah. Hour was also, that was one thing that got me into video games, like this, there's something going on here. Finest Hour, Stalingrad, when you played through the Battle of Stalingrad.
Yeah.
And there's like the Russian guy, and he's calling out orders from you as you're rowing your boat towards Stalingrad, and he's like, kill the Germans, this is your mother's prayer.
Shit.
I was like, what is going on?
I remember playing Finest Hour on PC too, and I was like, fuck, how old was I? 13, 14 maybe?
Hmm.
So.
That's a game. Screw Modern Warfare 2. Give us Finest Hour.
Yeah. Well, they pretty much did. Didn't they remake it in World War 2?
Remake it again.
Well, they just like retold it in World War 2, didn't they? Nah, I don't know.
Maybe. I'd have to go. I own World War 2. I have to go back and check it, but.
Fucking World War 2 suck balls. The multiplayer, anyway. Actually, the campaign was fucking unbearable as well.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Zombies was good, though.
Zombies was good, except it needed more than one map.
Yeah.
Number 7 was Lumines for the PSP. I don't even know what that is.
How do you spell Lumines?
Lumines. Moving into handhelds is always a great opportunity to showcase fresh batch of ingenuity. I can't say that word. As is the case with the PSP launch game, gameplay was simple but addictive, and the players had to puzzle solve using patterns of light and beats of techno music. Any similarities to Tetris quickly faded away as fans embraced this modern puzzler. If you have a PSP and haven't played this game, you are missing out.
Well, okay, I was going to say it looks exactly like Tetris, but when they say anything of Tetris gets washed away, then yeah, it seems interesting.
Yeah. Number 6 is Star Wars Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Leader for the Cube. For the Cube.
I think I played that a little bit.
In the beginning, there was the Cube.
Star Wars. Yeah, I did play this. I enjoyed the Star Wars piloting games, and that's the thing that I feel like they did okay in the Battlefield games, or the Battlefront.
Yep.
But I liked it in the original Battlefront better. Like, I loved in the original Battlefront just running over to a ship and, like, actually getting inside of the ship.
Yep.
I hated the tokens. I think that was my least favorite part. That's what really turned me off of the new Battlefield. Mm-hmm. Was just that stupid token system. Like, I loved playing on Hoth in the original Battlefront and hopping into your snow speeder and taking off from the base in your snow speeder to go fight walkers was just like, ugh. Mm. The best.
What's next? Number 5 is Soul Calibur for the Dreamcast in 99.
Nice. I didn't play much Soul Calibur.
I played the one for the Cube because Link was in it. That was the only reason I played it.
And did you exclusively play Link?
Yes. And then I quit after I fucking died every fucking match.
Not easy. Yeah. Takes time.
Yeah. Number 4, Wii Sports for the Wii.
Doo,
that's pretty believable. Doo, 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 doo. everyone got it for free, and it just basically outlined how great the Wii controls were for, or could be, I guess.
I hated how it came in that little sleeve. Like, it, when they gave it to you, it was like that tiny little sleeve, and I was like, where the hell does this go on my shelf? You know, like, you gotta like slide it in between two game boxes. I'm like, either all games should come in these sleeves or none.
Yeah.
No game should come in these sleeves. This is like cereal box gaming level of packaging.
What was your best? Because you know how you started at zero, and then the more you won, and like, I want to play Wii Sports right now, just FYI. and then the more you won, you would rank up, and once you hit 1,000, you were a pro, and the fucking game ramped up super hardcore.
I don't think I ever made it to 1,000, but I think boxing might have been the one that I did the most of.
For me, I was a pro in tennis and baseball. Like, I could keep up with the pro in tennis, but the pro baseball is, like, fucking next level. It's so hard.
I found it so hard to, like, get the motion controls in the baseball to line up. Like, every time I'd swing the baseball bat, it would always, like, slip my hand away, and I would get stuck and drive around. Like, I could never line up the swings.
Well, the swings were... if you threw a fastball, if you swung, you were lined up with it. But the fastball that the computers throw when you were a pro were like 110 mile an hour fucking pitches. And like, you saw it for like a millisecond.
You'd have to start swinging like as they were throwing it. Like during the animation of them throwing, you'd already have to be swinging.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they switch it up, right? They throw like knuckleballs and curveballs and shit. So you're just getting strikeouts like fucking crazy. And then the opposite's true when you're pitching. So when you're pitching, you can throw underhand or overhand fastballs, knuckleballs. You can adjust the aim of the ball so that it's not dead center on the bat. Like, it's maybe below, like near their body, but below the bat. Mm-hmm. I would try fucking everything, and they would hit everything.
Never get it.
They would hit everything, and they would never fall for my knuckleballs. They'd never fall for my fucking shittily aimed pitches. Like, it was fucking garbage. So, golf, I did okay at. I wasn't a pro at that, though.
I don't even remember the golf. Like, I'm just looking at the picture here, and I have no remembrance of the golf at all. I remember everything else: bowling, boxing, tennis, baseball. Golf is just not even there.
Bowling, once you figure, like, I couldn't not curl the ball right. Like, no matter what I did.
Yeah, I had a hard time with the bowling, too.
Yeah. So I just had to find one area that every time I bowled, it'd just get a strike. Like, cool.
I love that Wii Bowling became a meme, though.
Did it?
Oh, yeah, they have, like, I'll send you some videos. They have, like, all these videos of, like, people falling over, and then they just, like, replay the people falling over, but, like, into the bowling pins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so number three was Halo Combat Evolved for the Xbox.
Halo Evolved for the... Oh, yeah.
So, my brother and I tried to play this because it just got released on PC for Halo Master Chief Collection for PC, and it's fucking broken. Like, I want to make a video about why I'm not buying a fucking Xbox, because everything that's fucking broken, they don't fucking fix.
Yeah, they just... And you gotta call their hotline.
Yeah.
Call the Xbox now, and then they never get anything done.
That's not going to fucking help this situation. But yeah, like, you can play it by yourself, but as soon as you try to play it co-op on PC, the fucking game crashes. It's super annoying. Anyways, number two, Tetris, Game Boy, 1989.
Tetris, baby.
Been playing some Tetris 99, Cole?
Not 99, but I don't know. There's just something about Tetris that's just, like, it's awesome. Good concept.
Yeah, I'll get a hankering to play Tetris, and I'll download it on my phone and then hate it.
An
hour later.
It's like when you download like Sudoku, yeah. And then you play it for like a couple minutes, and you're like, all right, I'm not done with this.
If I'm straight up desperate, I'll play Sudoku.
But you know that a game is good when you get a hankering to play it still, you know?
Yeah. Okay, number one is actually a tie. For the NES, SNES, and the 64, which was all the Marios that came out on those. So Super Mario Bros., Super Mario World, Super Mario 64. Yeah. I could agree with that.
Well deserved, yeah.
I think Super Mario Bros. Sold like a fucking bazillion zillion copies of the first one.
I think they probably would still sell a bazillion zillion copies of the first one.
Yeah. Oh, so goddamn good. I haven't actually beat, because excuse me, sorry, I never had a SNES, so all the SNES games that I played are very limited. So I've played the Donkey Kong Countries, I've played Mario World, but I have not beaten it.
I played a lot of, yeah, I beat Mario World, I beat all of the Donkey Kong Countries. I had so many games for the NES.
Yeah.
And I can't remember any of them. Well, actually, again, it was my cousin, the same cousin who we sold half of our N64 games. It was his NES. But he brought it to my grandma's place, and my grandma lived right next to me, so I could go over next door and play his NES at my grandma's. And right. I used to do that all the time because it was so good. But yeah, Mario, Donkey Kong Country. Why am I blanking out on all the other games that I played?
Probably because they weren't good. Just kidding.
No, there were some good ones, but man, there were some very difficult ones. Yeah. Super Mario Bros. And that's it. No other ones.
There's no other ones. All right, well, that comes to the end of the episode. Thanks for listening to the Video Games Now podcast. Leave a review on whatever you're listening to the show on, and then jump onto our social media and let us know what you thought of the show. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be back next week to help you through this Heineken virus times.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. See you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.